Hello there, podcast listener. Thank you so much for downloading our little podcast from Italy. I'm Jason.
Ciao, I'm Ashley.
Together, we own, operate, run, live at, and are currently sitting in the kitchen of La Tavola Marche, a little agriturismo cooking school and slice of paradise in the foothills of the Appiani, Piobico, Italia.
Yes, we're way out in the middle of nowhere, but it's lovely out here. And it's a gorgeous winter day. It's been pouring rain, and now it is a clear, sunny day, but the temperatures are definitely cooler.
It is the 12th of February. It is 9 o'clock in the morning. We're ready to go. I'm ready to do a podcast. It's the last couple of days. Ashley said it's been raining, so I'm ready to do some outside work today.
Sounds good. I'm ready for you to do it, too. We need some more wood hauled and cut your canals a little bit deeper for the water. It's going good, though.
All right, let's jump right into it. Oh, I'm gonna jump right into it. So we did a little switcheroo. Ashley took off for the weekend, and I had a friend come down from up north, northern Europe, and she went to old France. She went to see the Frenchies.
Oui.
And we kind of, there's nothing, here's the problem with this area in the wintertime. There's nothing to do. Absolutely nothing to do. I searched. I wanted to go fishing. I wanted to go sport fishing, you know, day boat fishing in the Adriatic. None of the boats would go out. Too cold and too, you know, none of the sport fishing ones. I tried to go to they're big into karting around here, like little go-karts. Really cool tracks. You can rent really fast.
They're hardcore.
Hardcore go-karts. Everything closed. What else did I try to do? Anything basically outside, or Italy's a nice weather country. So in the wintertime, unless you're in a big city and you can see the artwork, but out here, there's nothing.
Yeah, and you guys did not want to go see artwork.
No.
The only thing you wanted to do was go up to, like, the Ferrari Museum or something. But that was a bit of a poke for going up and coming back the same
day. It's outside of Modena, and that's a bit of a – for a day trip, maybe if you had – I just don't want to drive that.
No.
I just don't want to be in our crappy car that long.
Exactly.
So,
but you guys did decide.
We did decide to go to the Frassassi Caves. The Frassassi Caves are about an hour south of us. They're if you go to Ancona and then just come 30 – they're basically 30 minutes inland from Ancona, or about an hour south from us. They're open year-round. They are these caves that you go into, and I don't know any of the details, like how many meters deep.
No, it's pretty freaking amazing.
There's 30 kilometers of caves, and you go through 800 meters of it. But it's a beautiful gorge. It's the Frassassi Gorge, this crazy, crazy cut through these mountains coming over to the east side of Italy. And Frassassi is great because no matter what it's doing outside, blazing hot, freezing cold, windy, whatever, it is always the same in the caves. It's kind of humid and kind of cool, and it's great. And we had a really nice drive. Like I told Craig, we're going on a date. I told him he's not getting a second date. Because there was no pictures. You can't take pictures in the caves because they want you to buy their postcards. And so there was a picture time, like, well, they'll take a picture for you for, you know, whatever, $10 or whatever. And I said, do you want to take a picture? And he said, do you want a picture? And I said, I want you to want the picture.
Oh,
my
God.
And he didn't want the picture. We didn't get one. But anyway, I joke. And then from there, about 20 minutes south of that, is this little food truck on the – we've talked about this before. It's near Metallica. There's a food truck at the crossroads where it's like an interchange of four different roads going in four different directions. Basically a food truck that they built a permanent a permanent cover and a little patio area on. And all they do is make three types of sandwiches: porchetta, prosciutto or salami and cheese, and what is it?
Bracciaiola.
Yeah, bracciaiola. The sliced pork shoulder. Take pork shoulder and slice it really thin and just grill it over coals. A little salt and pepper on this really good bread. Done.
It's Awesome. I was, like Jason mentioned, out of town, and he picked me up at the train station with two of those bad boys and a bottle of water. And I thought, this is a good man.
Well, they're even good cold because the juices and the fat and everything soak into
the
bread.
It was delicious. It was just what I needed after a day of travel. It was so good.
So there you go. I mean, that is something for Saucy Caves. You can Facebook it. You can Google it and learn all about those caves. They were actually only discovered a few years ago.
Yeah, in like the late 80s or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, okay. So real quick, there's a bunch of kids or a bunch of people like rock climbing or hiking on top of these mountains. And it was a calm day and they saw the bushes blowing in some kind of breeze. So they went to check it out. And what it was is a little crack in the rocks and the air was coming from the caves up past these bushes and making them shake. And they got a flashlight and a rope and then got down maybe 10 meters to the first little ledge. And when they shined their flashlight down, they couldn't see anything because it was so big and so deep that the light just disappeared. So what they did is they dropped a stone and then they counted how many seconds. And then because you know how fast the free-falling stone will fall times the amount of time it took, you'll get the depth of the caves. And it's crazy. It's like 100-something meters deep.
Incredible. And how crazy is it that these guys then like
kids.
Came back the next day?
They were kids. They were like,
I know.
If they weren't, if she, I don't remember, she said they were 18 or
I think like
22
18, 20,
or something.
Yeah. Can you imagine, though? Then who's like, all right, who draws the short straw to go down?
So I never told him what the first saucy is. Stalagmites and stalactites.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
It's because we've gone before, so it's like we're thinking you know.
So around here is very sulfuric water, and this sulfuric water has a lot of calcium in it and different minerals that when they drip on each other, build up. And a stalagmite is just these minerals that look like these giant columns, and they can look like melty candles or slices of bacon or, one looked like Santa Claus, and it's absolutely incredible. They grow at about a millimeter a year, and you're looking at these things that are, I don't know. She said there's no frame of reference because you're
there's
in this
no like depth perception.
Depth perception. So you're in this cave, and she'll point, the guide will point at this one, and she'll be like, see that one over there? That's 8 meters tall, and it looks like just
the size of your finger.
Yeah, it's really small. You don't get it. It's just so weird. So if 8 meters at a millimeter a year, that's a lot of years.
Mm-hmm. It feels like you're on another planet in there. You lose track of time, and like Jason said, without the, this depth perception and sense of space, and it is just wild. I don't know. Caves are kind of cool. Even if you're not into geology or any of that stuff, it really is a cool, cool day trip.
Absolutely. And if you need to beat the heat or beat the weather in any way, for Saucy Caves, man, you cannot. It's always the same temperature there.
And it's a great thing for people of any age. Like
that's
kids.
True. Oh, the walk wasn't bad at all. It's an easy. It's like an hour and a half walk through it. The only thing I would say.
If you want to be hardcore.
Yeah, if you want to be hardcore, you can sign up ahead of time for the, they give you all the gear and you go through a bigger, like more different places, more challenging places. Thank you. More different places, that doesn't work.
It's pretty good.
Right, thank you. So we did that together this week, and other than that, we watched a lot of YouTube videos here. Pretty uneventful weekend, let me tell you.
I had a good time in France.
Yeah?
It was really fun. It still blows my freaking mind that you can fly from Rome to, a little village in France for under 50 euro round trip. I think my tickets were like 38 or 48 euro round trip, and it just, I don't know, that's wild. I did for the first time take the bus from Aquilania to Rome to Tributina and then took the train to the airport. That was awesome. That bus was, I think it was like $34. It was a
round trip or one way?
One way.
Really?
It was a bit expensive, but it was
wasn't
really
a bus.
Comfortable.
It was a coach.
It was a coach, and it made one stop for a cafe. I love it. The bus picks you up at 6:50 in the morning, and then about an hour and a half in, it stops for a cafe. Everyone gets out, and you have your morning cappuccino or whatnot and a little brioche, and then you get back on the bus, and keep on keeping on. It was super comfortable, really easy, great way to get to Rome without having to drive.
I think Carolyn said you're right. One way is expensive, and then round trip was only like 40.
That's what I was thinking. Like 45 bucks yeah. or something. Yeah,
10 bucks more. But for one person and to beat the traffic, and if you don't want to bring a car, you cannot drive into Rome from our house for 45 bucks.
No, and it was fast. Like I was checking it out. We were still at Rome City Center. Essentially, I mean, we were driving past it, but we were there in 3 hours. Like, it was not a slow going bus. This guy knew he was hauling ass. He knew what he was doing.
So weird. Rome. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but our house to Rome City Center is 3 hours on the dot from the time you leave, pull out of our driveway to pulling into the parking lot. It's 3 hours. The airports. Airport can be
it's a bit.
GRA. It's the Grande Raccordo Anulare, I think, right?
I have no idea.
It's the ring road, the GRA, around Rome, and that can be a parking lot. And then Fiumicino is not...
No, it's out there.
It's out there. It's on the water, and it's at the southern... It's at the southwestern part. Like, you have to go to the southwest part of Rome, or the GRA, and then go out to
from
the
From Tributina, the train was still another... half an hour or so to get to the airport. So that's going by train without having the traffic or anything like that. That being said, when I came back, there's a newer train called the Leonardo Express, and it goes direct from Fiumicino to Termini for 11 euro.
That's not new. We did that when the first time we came to Italy.
I thought the other ones used to have stops.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
It was direct. And it was always expensive. It's the tourist train.
Yeah.
It's freaking 11 euro to go 20 minutes.
Maybe it's just that I haven't taken it in a long time.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was easy way to get back and great way to travel. I have to say, butter, delicious in France. I do like a little bit of the butter on a baguette with ham and cheese. Nice touch. They eat delicious creamy cheese where I was in Rennes. And foie gras. What is that exactly? Because it's like just fatty, like
foie gras
pieces of meat with it. And
now, are you talking about foie gras duck liver, or are you talking?
Oh
about...
no, I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
Not foie gras. What am I talking about?
Confit.
I'm so retarded. I don't know any of this. Okay, so confit.
Confit is when you place you can do confit of duck, rabbit, a confit of a lot of different things. You place it under salt on usually pressed.
You place a piece of meat. Because we were spreading this like thick butter across the...
So you take like duck confit, for example. You take the leg and the thigh of a duck.
Okay.
Under salt with usually herbs, whatever herbs. It varies from recipe to recipe. A day or two. Then you wash it and then you put it in a casserole with duck fat.
You wash it? Like you literally rinse it off?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you rinse it off because otherwise it'll be too salty.
Okay.
Then you put it in a casserole dish, like a casserole, one of those earthenware casseroles, with melted duck fat, covered with duck fat. So it's underneath the fat, and then you bake it very, very low temperature for a long time. And it's a way of preservation. So then when it comes out, the fat will harden on top, no air can pass in, and it's a way to conserve. So then you can take that and you can pour it into you can just leave it on the counter like that. And then when you want the duck, you dig it out. It's
why
incredible.
Don't we do more of that? We did
why
something.
Why don't we do more of that?
We did something like that once.
I've done it before. Yeah, we did it with rabbit confit.
Oh my god.
It's awesome.
It is. Why don't we do it?
We should do. You know what? I'll do it more this year because I don't want to
get into it.
Yeah, do you really
it is good. It is so dangerous because you're like, oh, just a little smidgen on a cracker, and it's the best cracker all of a sudden you've ever had. It was delicious.
So then when the meat
and when
comes
you did
out,
it before it, I remember yeah, when, it just being like, oh
when
my
the meat
god
comes out, it's a little salty, it's got the taste of the herbs, and it falls apart and you kind of wipe the fat off that it's underneath. It's not like you eat the fat. Listen, if you're getting grossed out by this, you're crazy, because duck confit is one of the best things in the entire world. I would eat duck confit a lot.
Oh, yeah.
My heart would be like pumping sludge.
Oh, my God.
We should. You know what? I'll do that. For the spring, when we don't have like 25 people for dinner, when it's more in the 12s, uh-huh. I'll...
Ooh, book now for the spring, folks.
I'll start doing more of that kind of stuff. Because you're right. People just want good stuff. It doesn't always have to be super duper uber Italian. We should do...
No, this is super country.
I know. It is super country.
And it's super good.
Should we use super one more time? Because that's super annoying.
There you go. I like that. I like that. Speaking of meat, how is yours?
You mean sausages and salami?
Yep.
They're hanging up in the...
not even a nice segue?
No, not a nice segue. They're hanging in the drying room. They're pretty good. I think the first ones that we made will be coming down this week.
I think so, too.
And we'll put them into the vacuum seal bags. The salamis will probably have another 4 weeks or so.
But the sausages have that nice color, the nice white.
Yeah, they got the mold. Yeah, the first batch are done, so... Going good.
Good. Nothing felt like it went too fast last year. There were some concerns.
Last year, I think, well, I don't remember. Was it too fast or too warm?
I think part of it was going too fast. And then part two was Gaji cut them all down.
Oh, that's right. Gaji cut them all down last year.
At this time, we were in Greece.
Yes, we were in Greece at this time. Okay, yeah. So none of that this year because we're not going anywhere. And they're looking wonderful. I'm going to try to make some more salami or sausages this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're maybe another 30 or 40 kilo.
Yeah, just because, you know, I just
want some more of the fennel and pepperoncini. Yes.
Very good. So we'll do that. I'll call the butcher as soon as we're done with this.
You were reading something about wolves, and it's something that is always on my mind.
Let's talk wolves.
I was just talking about wolves in France, too, so that's why this is funny.
So there's a huge wolf problem, and we've heard wolves on our...
Road.
Last year I saw a big pack of wolves, and you can hear them sometimes.
It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. It feels close.
Well, towns in Tuscany. Well, they're protected. Wolves are, and not getting into the politics of it, but from the people around here's point of view, is the wolf population. If you don't control the wolf population, they start eating everything, and they'll eat all through all the deer. They'll eat through all the rabbit. They'll eat through all the wildlife, and then they'll start going for the domesticated animals, like the sheep and the cows and the cats and the everything. So,
which has been a problem out here too.
Which has been a problem.
Wolves, that's why we haven't had any hunters in the valley.
Yeah, boar numbers are way down. Deer, we don't, like 5 years ago when we arrived, there was deer everywhere. You had a head on a swivel at dusk and dawn, definitely. Now, not so much anymore. Mm-hmm. And they attribute that to the rise in... I have no idea. I'm just telling you what people have been told.
What the talk
me.
Of town is.
This is town talk, so...
It's town talk.
If going unchecked, the wolves get out of control. So that's what we're seeing now. Towns in Tuscany, villages in Tuscany, the farmers are starting... It's worse, I guess, there. They're starting to lose livestock. And the comunes or the region or whoever, the government's telling them it's not a problem, it's not the wolves. So they're starting to shoot wolves and drop them on the doorsteps of the comune or the village offices. Because if you kill a sheep or if you kill a cow, that's basically taking money out of your pocket.
Exactly.
Just like when the
so they're saying, who's going to pay for this?
Who's going to pay for this? And so I don't know if there's a... if they can do a controlled or get a study to do how many actual wolves there are. But I know that when we moved here, there were no wolves. And now we know there's wolves around.
I just like the sense of the Italians when they take it into their hands like this to protest when they do.
Well, the same thing with the milk farmer who was getting his baby cows gored by...
Boar.
Boar. And the
they said, there's not a problem. Yeah. You don't have a problem with boar.
And we told the story before. So he catches a baby boar and lets it go in the comune office or the town village offices, and then shouts at him, "You tell me now that the boar aren't a problem." as the pigs running through
where
offices.
You work.
Yeah, where you work. Exactly. So that's some of the talk of the what's going around. Carnival's coming up as well.
Which I got an email yesterday. And I just thought I would read it because I don't know if it's true. However, I found it to be very interesting that this email says Fano, the carnival in Fano is the oldest in Italy, and it dates back to 1347. Now, I'm not questioning the date, but I don't know. I would have thought Venice or something maybe with it. Or the, I don't know, or the Vatican, or I don't know, that some other, I had no idea. But I love, this is just what I love, that wherever you are, it seems like you, that place is the oldest.
Well, Beltrami told, the cheese guy told us that the Marchigiani invented pasta.
Exactly. So, Fano created Carnival. And, well, and so we are lucky that we live so close to Fano. And it says that that's why they're famous for their parades and the candy and cakes and panettone and chocolates and all of this. So, Carnival in Fano is celebrated over 3 weekends. Sunday, the 16th, the 23rd, 16th and 23rd of February, which happened to be our next two online cooking class dates, and March 2nd. And so I'm sure we'll go down there for probably the March 2nd one.
Here in Italy, they don't do Halloween. I mean, Halloween kind of a little, but it's Carnival. That's when you dress up.
Yeah, and you don't even, you, most kids we've seen or talked to have numerous costumes.
Mm-hmm. It's just kind of fun. It's a winter, it's a middle winter something to get excited about.
Well, and Carnival in Fano is pretty great because they have those huge, massive floats. And yeah, they're throwing their candies and treats. And I know we've talked about this before, but in Apecchio, I love going to their Carnival festivities because it's always a week into Lent, which I just love because they say the party, you know, keep it going. But they hand out, they throw out like salamis
glasses of wine.
It's great. So, yes, if you were ever curious, fun fact, Carnival festivals started in Fano in La Marca. Mm-hmm.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yes.
Being in Italy, we haven't been hit, but this week or this month, Italy has been hit with some crazy weather. Floods all over. It seems like anytime it rains in Italy, it just automatically floods. We have no water plan.
Taking the train, I saw across from Rome to Ancona, tons of standing water. I mean, it wasn't horrific what I saw. It was real flatlands of like farmlands that were just, I don't know, a couple inches.
Yeah, we have the Dutch are much
couple
better.
Centimeters, I mean,
Dutch are much better at. We had our Dutch neighbor come over and show, and we dug a couple of made a couple of dikes, and he fixed our whole water problem.
He did, because without spending any money,
no money, and maybe 2 hours of work. The Dutch just know how to deal with water. The Italians don't make water plans. They don't make a plan for, hey, when it rains a lot, where's all this water going to go?
Oh, for example, like being in a place like parts of Sicily, if it rains, you're screwed. The water, it rains hard and it comes in and those streets are not made to carry water.
I just noticed around Sicily, or around Sicily, around Italy, they're not, there's a lot of, you know, water damage because we're just not, they just don't plan for that. I don't know. But anyway.
We saw a crazy video.
Crazy YouTube video from South Tyrol. Where is it? The Passier Valley, and a slow moving mountainside of snow that then once it gets to the bottom of the mountain follows the river. It's incredible.
It is incredible. I've never seen anything like it. Also because it's going, like Jason said, slow moving.
Well,
No, you can like hear the guy talking and stuff, so it's not in slow motion.
Yeah, but how far back do you think he was? I mean, it could look slow. I mean, if you go up in an airplane.
Oh, true.
A car looks like it's
no,
not
but
moving.
It means you can kind of, as watching the video, you could really appreciate its strength is what I mean, too. That it, since it's kind of in this slow, it's moving freaking fast, I'm sure. But since it seems a little bit slower, you watch the tree slowly move down. And I don't know. It is, I have not seen anything like that. And seeing a wall of snow coming down off of or through the river. It just made me think, holy shit, what if something like that happened out here?
Yeah.
That's all I could think
well,
about.
Well, there are, have you noticed there's a lot of road washouts around
yes,
here?
Yes, or we have a hill right behind our house. What if some chunk of snow just came down and...
It's not that tall, though.
No, you're right, but... Whew.
You're talking about the Alps.
I know. I'm a little...
Actually, you always go to extremes. You're like, what if the top of the little hill by our house just falls off and rolls down and smushes us?
It would be like a...
Right. Anyway,
check out the video though. It's incredible.
It's really living out here in the middle of nowhere after living in New York City and suburbs and all that is you really appreciate how Mother Nature can just come and kick you right in the butt at any single moment she wants.
It's, absolutely.
And you're just, you're totally screwed. Yeah. You can never be prepared.
No, it's not enough. Like, hey, can you pump the brakes or divert this a little bit?
Time out.
No, she's coming in, knocking down the door, and holy smokes.
Let's see. Oh, other things I wanted to talk about. Different kinds. I don't know how a good segue for this, but we were talking the other day about different vegetables that.
Because I wanted to do cardoons for the cooking class.
Yeah.
And you were like, "Oh, no one can get cardoons."
No. So cardoons. Hold on. Let me go. I got the
cardoons are in the. It's an artichoke thistle.
Yes, it's called an it's called an artichoke thistle, and you. I've never seen these really out. I mean, I'm sure there are. I just never really knew what to do with them or knew anything about them. A cardoon or an artichoke thistle. This thistle-like plant is the family naturally occurring form of the same species as the globe artichoke as many cultivated varieties. Western and central Mediterranean region, it's domesticated in ancient times.
So that's Jason reading Wikipedia.
So basically what it looks like is it looks like a light, pale green celery on steroids.
Exactly. Jumbo, like the size of your arm.
Yeah, like
the stalk the size of your of your arm.
What you do is you take this and just like with artichokes, you have to use acid water, so like water with a lemon in it. So what you do is you take it and you cut it into chunks and then, you know, I don't know, however long you want them. I do it with sausages a lot. So I'll cut them the size of the sausages.
We're always eating sausages.
I love sausages. You can fry this stuff. You can make
it
sausages.
Yeah, a lot of people were asking if we fried it.
You can make it into Parmigiana. You can use it in... whatever you would use an artichoke heart for, you can use you can replace this with the artichoke heart. So then you put in the lemon water, and then with a knife or a potato peeler, you peel the back end. And just like a celery, it has those stringy veins running through it. And you just take that top layer off, and then from there, you can do whatever you want. You always have to keep it in the acid water.
Sorry, since I've never cleaned them, I've just eaten them. Is it when you say a knife or a potato peeler, like I'm thinking I would go for a potato peeler. Will it pull away from it? If you use a knife, or you mean like you have to cut it off?
No, you have to like scrape, like peel the outside because it's real stringy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, whatever, you'll see when you go to try to do it or watch a YouTube video. It's really easy. And then from there, you either boil them and then saute them like I do to serve them with sausages, or you can fry them, or you can boil them and use them in salad. I mean, it just tastes just like an artichoke.
But you would always boil or blanch them kind of first?
Yeah, you always have to cook them first. I don't know if you fry them. You might just fry them from raw. I've never fried them before. I've only eaten them fried. I've never done it. But I really like them. It's something it's something totally different. Just like a regular artichoke, pain in the butt to clean, but
after all of that and how different it looks than an artichoke, it really also has the weirdly kind of the same consistency as the artichoke hearts. I don't know, it's kind of wild because
it's really good. So if you walk by, if you're in your fancy schmancy
store, I wonder if like a Whole Foods or something,
sure, something like that. This is they're coming into season. It's called a cardoon or cardo or cardi, and it looks like a giant pale green celery head.
I'm going to put it as the picture for the podcast.
Okay. And that's one that we've been making a lot because you'll find them on the coast. Fano, when you go to the market in Fano, not so much around here. And I asked the fruit to vendor why she didn't. She said, because the POBKs, they never want to try anything different. She was really upset about it.
She's so cute too.
She was like, yeah, I love cardoons. My family, blah, 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 wherever they were from. I don't remember. And she said, yeah, I love cardoons. And, they just don't sell here, so I don't buy them.
I think they're also like artichokes where it takes a little time to get them started in the ground. But but then they come back, and they come back hard.
They also don't like the cold, and we're too cold. So I'm sure if you go down south.
But I know Carlo and Gigi have them, and they're up in Urbino, and it's cold up there.
They're facing the sea. They're on the ocean side of those hills.
Oh.
Think about that. They get
a lot more warmth during the day.
Or during the winter than we do. I don't think they freeze. Or if they do, it's a soft freeze. We'll get snow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's totally worth it. I love cardoons.
What is another veggie that you like that might not be super?
Well, something that I think that, like, cardoons, you might have seen it, but you don't know what the hell it is. Something else I know people have seen, but don't tend to know what to do with is fennel. And wild fennel we can find along the road and we have here, but also the fennel bulb. And we're going to do an online cooking class about that actually in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the fennel and then we'll go into the thing for the cooking class.
Yeah.
All right. Fennel. Fennel is something that everyone passes over because no one knows how to cook it or use it.
Yeah. Or it's like cut way too thick and it's just like, ugh.
Fennel is a bulb. It's a not a root, but it's a bulb. And there's the wild fennel does not grow the bulb. It grows a very aromatic stalk with very aromatic fronds. Whereas the cultivated fennel has a bulb and the fronds have no real no mm-hmm. taste to them. Fennel either needs to be braised or cooked long and slow to make it not so tough, or sliced paper thin so it's very palatable and easy to eat.
You'll find it in sometimes salads or that, and it's kind of thick sliced and
yeah, terrible.
Oh, and especially if it's not young, like Italians love to do things like take fennel or take cauliflower. I mean, this is different because they cut it really thin, but or artichokes with just drizzle of olive oil, salt, and pepper. But
and
that's
dip it, yeah.
And you dip it. But that's when things are still really young and very fresh. But right now,
I find that in the States, most of the time they have these huge fennel bulbs, and they're too mature. They're too big.
Exactly.
And not delicate mm-hmm. at all. So you really have to cook the crap out of them. And people just don't know. And if you don't know what the hell to do with that vegetable, no one will use it. So we're going to do two or three. How many did we do?
Two.
We're going to do two fennel two different ways at an upcoming live cooking class from here in our farmhouse straight directly to
February
you.
February 23rd.
Let's talk about this, Ashley, shall we?
Let's, Jason. So I heard you've been doing an exciting new project.
Wow, it really is. I can't wait. It is new and really on the cutting edge.
Wait, or should we do the NPR voices?
Oh.
Jason, yeah. I've heard you've got a new project coming up.
I do,
Tell
Ashley.
Me a little bit more about that. I think our listeners would really find this interesting.
Well, Ashley, this coming up week, we're going to have our fourth live cooking class from Italy, where I'll be cooking directly along with you, if you'd like.
What's the menu?
I think we're doing chicken or rabbit in the style of the hunter. I'll be doing
mouth
rabbit.
Watering.
Those are some real salty balls.
I know.
No, we're going to be doing chicken and a rabbit in the style of the hunter. And we've gone over this a couple of podcasts ago. But style of the hunter can mean anything depending on where you're from. Just because it's the style of you, everyone equates it with either mushrooms or with tomato based. You know, like a red kind of cacciatore.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's not like that at all where we are. And I'm going to be using rabbit, but if you can't find rabbit or don't dig on rabbit, then chicken will work most definitely. And I'm also going to be doing the most perfect, best roasted potatoes you'll ever have. And it's a two-part cooking technique, and we'll get more into that. Again, these classes are not about sexy, super fancy dishes. This is about technique and learning how to cook.
That being said, this braised rabbit with roasted potatoes is super sexy.
No, it's not. It's farm peasant food.
Oh, I know, but it's so delicious. It's so tender.
What does that have to? Well, when I
so to me, I think
6 carrots on the plate with
I'm a country meat and potatoes girl. I'm like, no, that's sexy right there. We just need some gravy.
No, this isn't. It's not super refined. I love very simple, you know, more peasant type good food. If you're looking for the fancy schmancy, you know, remoulade and blah, 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 then you're not going to, it's not going to happen.
Not with you.
Not with me.
No, but this is good. But you
learn how to actually cook. And then once you do learn how to learn the technique, now you can go and make your fancy schmancy, whatever you want to do.
And then for the fennel, back to the fennel.
Back to the fennel, we'll be doing fennel two ways. We're going to do fennel in white wine, so a braised fennel, and then we're going to do a raw fennel, which is sliced paper thin with our beautiful Sicilian blood oranges that are in season right now. In fact, I'm going to get another glass of blood orange juice.
Delicious. So we've got cardoons, fennel. How do you use wild fennel?
Wild fennel uses an aromatic like you would rosemary or thyme or whatever. You can.
And when we do our sausages, what fennel are we using? So what's fennel seed?
Fennel seed is the seeds from the fennel plant, from that aromatic plant.
From the aromatic plant,
yes.
Not the bulb.
I don't believe the bulb goes to, I've never seen the bulb go to seed. I know my aromatic ones did.
Yes, because we saved them.
Yeah. And when you, and then before you put them into the sausages, you must sterilize them because they'll have bacteria that will grow inside the sausages. So I put them in the oven at 100 degrees centigrade for 10 minutes.
So another interesting kind of veg.
I know what someone asked us this week about blood oranges.
Oh, and if we eat them?
No. Well, if we eat them and how to choose good blood oranges.
Yeah, that was a two-part question.
Oh, it was? Okay. Uh-huh. Blood oranges here, you're sold by the case.
Oh, and I think he said they were $4 a pound or something.
His are $4 a pound? Oh, holy crap. Okay, so I, for a 10-kilo case, is it 10 kilo? Yeah, it's probably 10 kilo. It's a case. It's a big case of oranges. I pay €4. They're considered the cheap oranges at this time of year. They're absolutely delicious. I find they're better when they're firmer. When they start getting soft, that means they're not as fresh. And with any citrus, it's all about the skin. You can tell a fresh citrus because that skin, when you like kind of rub your finger over it, the oils will pop out. Also, some of the times you'll see them with the leaves still on. If the leaves are still on, you know how long it takes for a leaf to die from a tree. Like within a week, that thing's wilty. So if the leaves look good, because a lot of times they'll be like leaves inside of the boxes that we get because they pick them, then that. So firm, fingernail over the skins. I usually find if a bunch of oil and sprays up when you do. Think of the ocean spray. Think of the orange juice commercial. You know, when they go to squeeze the juice, you can see the oils from the skin misting and popping out. And then that's ridiculous. So I don't know how you can afford to buy at $4 a pound.
I mean, I think that's what he said. I'm probably completely wrong, but and do people eat them whole? Like we just juice them.
I don't know. Are they really?
That was a great
eating?
Question because I thought Italians do eat hand fruit.
Yeah, I think it's more the navel oranges.
I think so too.
I don't think you eat these ones.
I know, but you'll use them for like the fennel salad or something. Like you'll see in the
I'll section them out and use them for the fennel salad or the juice is absolutely incredible. I mean, oh man, I can't describe it enough. All right, no one wants to hear about it.
I know it. So, did you want to talk about anything else that you were reading in the Italian papers?
Oh, yeah. There was one more thing that the statistic that I find funny the other day. Where is it? Okay. So the statistics for 2012 are out, whatever the census statistics for Italy in 2012. Italians have always been close to their parents, but fewer flew the nest in 2012 than in 2011 due to a continued lack of jobs. The struggling economy, the latest figures from the ISTAT, I-S-T-A-T, the National Statistics Agency. 61.2% of Italians between the ages of 18 and 34 still live at home in 2012.
What?
31,000 more than the previous year. Those still with their parents are mostly single who can't afford to live alone or are forced to return to home. Men also make up the bigger proportion, with the figures from late last year showing that 52.3% of men ages 25 to 34 were still living with their parents, compared to 35% of women.
That is so incredible.
Figures are hardly surprising, seeing the jobless rates are a record high, blah, 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 blah. But still, holy crapola. 61.2% of Italians between 18 and 34 still live at home. 6 in 10.
I would go crazy. I think Italians like their family a hell of a lot more.
I just thought and it's 52% of men and 35% of women.
Almost 53%. That's crazy.
That's a lot. So that just jumped out the page. I was reading.
I know.
For our language lesson, we're back into language lessons, and we're trying to read more paper, read more Italian, and just get back into it. So we'll be pulling out these fun facts that make my head pop out of my eyes pop out of my head from the paper.
I think there was also another creepy one about adults and young Italians.
Yeah, I don't want to get
into that either. Shout outs. Transitioning nicely. I've got a couple shout outs. Are you ready for them, Jay?
Do I have to do anything for these?
No.
Oh, then yes.
Just
fire away.
Yes, there we go. All right, we got a little shout out for Leon from NYC. How you doing? We have a special shout out that was a request, and this is so cool, to Amy Chambers from San Diego. Ciao, Amy. Thanks for listening and your love of all things Italian. And last but certainly not least, I've got a shout out to Catherine from Nashville and her blog, The South in My Mouth. It was really hysterical. She took one of our online cooking classes and is a podcast listener and wrote a really funny post about it. And I just want to say thanks. Check it out. The South in Your Mouth. In your, South in My Mouth.
Very good. What do you got going on today?
I don't even know. I feel like so on the spot. I'm in sweats by the fire with my legs kicked up. So I'm not sure. I got to reassess.
I know what I've got. It's February. It's the beginning of February and it's time to walk through the house with.
Oh, yes. I love lists.
Oh, man. So the vacation is over, my fellow podcast listeners. It is time to get back to work for reals. It's time to walk through the house
for reals with
a pad and a pen and start making lists for, all right, here we go, apartment one, what needs to be done in here.
Take around like that masking tape and put pieces of tape all over the place of spots that we have to come back to and fix or
paint and all that kind of stuff.
I think the painting's not going to be so much spots, but all over.
it's going to be. So we
have
what?
Oh, what happened to the changing the cabinet? I thought you were going to do that while I was out of town.
Oh, yeah. That didn't work out so well.
Oh, no. He was going to change the cabinet top, which really we need to do and is a top priority project for the winter. However, instead decided to buy a saw to take apart the red car and take off the front bumper.
Listen.
That is way more pressing issues.
Our little crappy red car that Ashley flipped when it was a couple months old cannot pass the road inspection anymore without thousands and thousands of euros worth of work. So we had to go out. We bought another crappy little car that was even older than the crappy little car that we have now.
Wait. Side note. You need 3 keys for this goddamn car.
Oh my
God. To open the door, one to start the car, and one for the trunk and the gas tank. Hysterical.
Anyway, so not only this our older crappy little car still runs. The little red car. It still runs. It's the motor I really babied. I changed the oil. I followed all the maintenance. Like, the motor is great. The rest, not so much.
Not so much.
But someone's got to give me 300-400 euros for just the just the parts. No. They want you to pay them to
drop
it
off,
and give it and to crush it and to or sell the parts or whatever the hell they're going to do, and then give you the certificate that says that it's not roadworthy anymore. Well, forget that. I'm not going to pay them a couple few hundred euros to do that. Forget it. So, what are we going to do? I'm going to
As soon as he drops me off for the go out of town, he goes and buys this shit.
Went to the hardware store. We got a keyhole saw, is it called? I don't know. One of those saws that go back and forth that can cut through metal. And I'm going to cut the roof and the back off the car. I'm going to take the seats out, rip everything out, make a frame out of metal tubing, and put down plywood, and then make a little, cart to haul wood and haul garbage and haul all that stuff.
Because I think it's awesome.
I think it's awesome too.
I just think that's hysterical that somehow that took priority over the countertop.
Absolutely. But, and so it begins. We now have one wrecked car in our driveway. So we're well on our way to white trash.
All right, my Oakey family pride. Well,
I know, you'll make your Oakey family proud. How many pieces or wrecks of different machinery and cars do we need before we can be considered into the category?
Well, we definitely need the old seats that you took out of the red car placed somewhere outside on a patio.
Oh, see, I was thinking a couch.
That's what I mean. Well, like the old car seats.
Oh, yeah. If it was a bench seat. To be used as a bench.
Yeah.
To be used as a couch.
Or you, if they're,
ooh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That is really classy. And we had that growing up at our front house on the front porch. Instead of like a rocking chair, the old van seats were in the front.
Oh, baby. The apple does not fall far, does it?
I'm well on my way.
All right. Very good. What's the...
Should we wrap this up?
Yeah. What's the...
Oh, really exciting news. We were in USA Today.
We already mentioned that.
That was before when we taped the first one.
Oh.
The previous podcast that we taped over, I opened with that, but I thought I'd close with it this time. Super exciting. Yeah, we were just in USA Today this week for being a healthy destination for a culinary getaway.
Wowee!
No, but that's really huge. That's big press for us. We're a tiny place out here.
I know. I always send my brother whenever we're in publications that like hard copies that we can't get. My brother lives in New York, and I tell him, listen, stop by and get the Financial Times or stop off and get the USA Today or blah, blah, blah. And we always get the date wrong to tell him to buy the paper.
Always.
And sure enough, Zach, yeah. Buy Friday. Was it Friday?
I know. I asked my dad to do it too.
Yeah, Friday. Buy the USA Today because we're going to be in the USA Today travel section. Okay, and we were not. I think we were
not.
Thursday.
We were not. Not at all. No.
I think it was
so
Thursday.
So it makes us look both like an idiot
and liars.
I liar.
Zach just says we're racking up.
Yeah,
he's just upset with the price.
Do you know I spent $2 on a USA Today and you weren't in it. Like, all right, buddy. Whatever. Put
like
it
he
on
wouldn't
my
read the paper anyway.
But not that one. He likes the crappy New York Post.
Oh, the Daily News.
No, he likes the Post. Even less news.
Even better news.
Even better news. More made up.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything else?
No, let's wrap this bad boy up. We were 50 minutes in and
holy smokes.
Wow. You can talk. Let me tell you. What's the thing of the week?
The song of the week? Song of the week. Jason's going to call the name. We've been choosing some of our favorite songs to play at the end of the podcast. And as a switch up, we thought we'd play one of Italian radio's favorite songs
to
play.
Holy crap. If you were here in 2010-ish?
Anytime between 2009 to today.
To today. And you are listening to basically any radio station. Yeah, we got RDS. RDS. You will have heard this song. I now hate the song. I hate this person for making this song. I hate the fact that I hate the radio stations for doing nothing but playing this song. If you were here today, it would be the right Rihanna song.
Uh-huh.
What's the Rihanna one that
I
they
don't
play
even know the names,
constantly? But Wrecking Ball. You got me making records. I complain because our new car does not have an iPod hookup, so I have to listen to the radio. And this got me talking the other day when I picked Ashley up about the fact that
only just now, 6 years in, listening to
Italian radio. And I'm sure they do this in the States too, but they'll get a dozen songs, eight songs, and just every radio station will just play the crap out of it.
And then they'll have a really random early 90s, like, I love your smile, da 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 da. You're like, where the hell did this come from? And they just have this bizarre mix. I don't know. It is so weird. And so we just thought, well,
so this is
in an homage to Italian radio.
In an homage to Italian radio. Excellent. This is Tiziano Ferro, and it's Il Regalo Più Grande, the big gift. How many times have you heard this stupid
A million.
Song?
So now it's
so
your turn.
So now you get to hear it. All right?
Hit it.
Very good. Bring us home.
All right. So you can find us at LATAVOLAMARCHE, La Tavola Marche, and that's latavolamarche.com. If you would like to book a culinary holiday, you can find all the details there. If you want to check out a little bit of slice of life, check out our blog, latavolamarche.blogspot.com.
Sign up for our live online cooking classes. One will be this Sunday.
Yes. $5 a class. And you can find the details for our online cooking classes either on our blog or at livefromitalyonline.tumblr.com. You can also find awesome pics just from everyday life and a few little video clips on Instagram at Ashley Bartner, ASHLEYBARTNER. And if you guys want to send us questions, comments, Stitcher. Awesome. We're on a bunch of the top lists on Stitcher. Keep commenting and
iTunes as
and
well.
iTunes as well. Ratings. It is huge. It helps us a ton. And even just clicking the star rating or an actual feedback really helps. We can't thank you guys enough. And so many of you have written in saying how you've been sharing it with a friend. So keep doing it. You guys rock.
All right. Very good. Here we go. Tiziano Ferro with Il Regalo Più Grande.
Ciao. Ciao.
Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Arrivederci.
Ciao.
Voglio farti un regalo, qualcosa di dolce, qualcosa di raro, e non un comune regalo, di quelli che hai perso, mai aperto, lasciato in treno, o mai accettato, e di quelli che apri e poi piangi, sei contenta e non fingi. In questo giorno di metà settembre ti dedicherò al regalo mio più grande. Vorrei donare il tuo sorriso alla luna, perché di notte chi la guarda possa pensare a te, per ricordarti che il mio amore è importante, che non importa ciò che dice la gente, perché tu mi hai protetto con la tua gelosia, che anche che molto stanco il tuo sorriso non andava via. Devo partire, però so nel cuore la tua presenza è sempre arrivo e mai partenza. Regalo mio più grande, regalo mio più grande. Vorrei mi facessi un regalo, un sogno inespresso, donarmelo adesso, e di quelli che non so aprire di fronte ad altra gente, perché il regalo più grande è solo nostro per sempre. Vorrei donare il tuo sorriso alla luna, perché di notte chi la guarda possa pensare a te, per ricordarti che il mio amore è importante, e non importa ciò che dice la gente, perché tu mi hai protetto con la tua gelosia, che anche che molto stanco il tuo sorriso non andava via. Devo partire, però so nel cuore la tua presenza è sempre arriva mai. E se arrivassi ora la fine, che sei un burrone, non per volermi odiare, solo per voler volare. Se ti nega tutto questa estrema agonia, se ti nega anche la vita, respira la mia. Stavo attento a non amare prima di incontrarti, e confondevo la mia vita con quella degli altri. Non voglio farmi più del male adesso, amore, amore. Vorrei donare il tuo sorriso alla luna, perché di notte chi la guarda possa pensare a te, per ricordarti che il mio amore è importante, che non importa ciò che dice la gente. Poi amore dato, amore preso, amore amore grande come il tempo che non si è reso. Amore che mi parla coi tuoi occhi qui di fronte. Sei tu, sei tu, sei tu, sei tu, sei tu, sei tu, sei tu. Hai il regalo mio più grande.